Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, of course, we're all still waiting for more definitive answers, solutions, strategies, and quite frankly, decisions regarding high school sports in the fall. Now, later on in the hour, I want to take a few moments to go back and discuss what I think is a better and safer format for having high school sports this year. And as I go through the various sports, I just think this plan makes the most sense. But first up, as you know, right now in New York State and in New Jersey, there are postponements in place delaying the start of high school sports until either mid to late September. And of course, there are contingency plans to start in early January, just in case. Now, in contrast, schools in Connecticut and Pennsylvania, from what I hear, well, they're still slated to start their fall sports on time in early September, and that, of course, includes football. But, of course, all this is dependent with what happens with the virus and whether the high school kids, the students, do they really do commit to wearing face masks on a regular, ongoing, daily basis in order to protect not so much themselves, but to protect the teachers and coaches and so on, the people who are older than they are. And I think that there's one thing we can all agree upon is that there still remains a great deal of confusion for all of us. But now, let's suppose you're a high school coach or an athletic director in New York City. As we all know, New York City was the original epicenter of the virus. And let's face it, New York City presents its own set of unique challenges when it comes to playing high school sports. And to that end, on this morning's show, I thought we'd spend some time talking about exactly that. My guest is Nick Deonte, and he's been the athletic director of the High School for Math, Science, and Engineering in Manhattan since 2014, and Nick currently coaches their boys varsity soccer and volleyball teams. And in addition to his teaching and coaching duties, Nick's a contributor to Forbes magazine. He can be found on social media at Examine Baseball. And friends, we'll take your calls and comments, of course, at 1-877-337-6666. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, of course. And Nick, I know you've been an avid listener to the Sports Edge for some time now, and I thank you for doing that. You've heard all the recent shows and debates and discussion about public school coaches and the pandemic. But from what I gather, since there's still no real decision about schools opening in New York City in the fall, what are you hearing about high school sports in New York City?
You know, Rick, you hit it on the head. The mayor just came out this week and said that there is not going to be a decision on opening schools till early September. So that presents a tremendous challenge for us trying to get sports started in the city. We really haven't received much updates from the PSAL, but talking to various coaches, you know, they want to get on the field and they want to start playing and practicing, but they want to do it in a way that's safe and make sure that we have the right protocols in place. So unfortunately, we just haven't really received full guidance yet from the PSAL, as I'm sure they are working on a variety of contingency plans, but haven't shared anything with us at this point.
In New York City, of course, is the largest school district, in the country. And yes, we know, of course, New York City had all sorts of issues with the pandemic and shutting down and so on and so forth. But Nick, I mean, when was the last time you heard from the PSAL about anything for the fall? It's just been no communication at all?
So we received an email on June 9th just reiterating that sports are suspended until further notice, and that when the proper safety precautions are in place, that, you know, they will update us on when it's safe to proceed. So that's the last communication that we've had from the PSAL.
So, but that was in early June, and I assume that basically was obviously just capping off the spring season. Now we're into late July, people looking towards school starting in a few weeks, and obviously high school sports. There's just been no communication at all. They just kept saying, well, we have to wait for Mayor de Blasio to make a decision.
I think that's where a lot of the guidance is coming from. We just received some guidance, like, regarding phys ed. And, you know, the note said, you know, that we want to be outside whenever possible, but that there's going to be no sharing of equipment or student-to-student contact. So when reading that, I wonder how that's going to affect sports because, right, the athletics are an extension of the classroom. So yep. I wonder, you know, what the PSAL is going to offer, being that's the guidance that just went out to administrators.
Let me just ask you some very, very direct questions, Nick. Do you have a sense that there will be high school sports in New York City this fall?
I really don't see high school sports going off in the fall because of all the uncertainties that's going on, with starting schools and then all the logistical challenges of kids traveling across the city. I do think there probably are some sports that could operate easier. But I don't know if the PSAL is going to green light certain sports and then say other sports are on hold, because that might create a divisive environment within the PSAL and New York City.
Yeah, I just want to remind our listeners that New York City public schools and their sports programs, because obviously we're talking about the five boroughs, we're talking about an urban environment, they present unusual kind of conditions. I mean, let's face it, you just mentioned that the kids, I mean, in a lot of schools around the country, you just go out the back door of the school and there are your playing fields. And that's not true in New York City all the time. You know, kids have to take subways, take buses to get to their playing fields. There's a limited number of fields that are available. There are concerns about money, of course. Money is just going to be tighter. It's always tight, but it's going to be even tighter this year. And of course, gym space. I mean, it just seems like an avalanche of issues, and of course, getting officials and referees lined up as well. Nick, this seems like a monumental challenge.
Oh, Rick, you know, you mentioned the referees, right? A lot of our referees are older, and they may take a pass on refereeing if, you know, sports are reopened. So that's something that I think people haven't considered as well. We're always like in kind of a quasi-official shortage as is. And if our older, more experienced referees decide to say, look, this isn't, you know, worth the hundred some odd dollars per game for me, you know, putting, you know, myself at risk, we really could be, you know, at a great challenge. You know, adding the fact that parks permits haven't come out yet. And then, you know, like here in Manhattan, we only have two schools that have their own field. So imagine, you know, how many high schools are in Manhattan, and the two schools that have their own in the borough, George Washington and Murray Bergstrom. So you're right. It's not like schools can just turn around and walk out the backfield and have a private practice. Most schools are struggling to get some park space or gym space. And then what if the gymnasiums are being used as classrooms, which is one of the things that's been proposed in order to maintain social distancing.
We're talking with Nick Deonte. He's the AD at the High School for Math, Science, and Engineering in New York City. We're talking about the unique challenges that high schools in the city are facing. And we just heard Nick talk about the fact that, I mean, it's just because we still haven't got a start date for schools to open in the city. And obviously sports being an extracurricular activity, it's just hard to sort of envision how this is all going to take place in a timely fashion because of all the concerns that basically confront and face high schools in the city. Nick, what are you telling your coaches and kids and parents? They must be, you know, in contact with you saying, you know, what do we do? What's happening? How should I prepare? What is going on?
You still want to keep the hope alive, right? So even though I just had said that I don't think it's going to happen, we want to be prepared. And I think our school prides ourselves on there. So all of our coaches have been in contact with their players and families to still get them to make sure that they have the necessary paperwork ready and that, you know, that if we do start, full sports is supposed to start around, I think, August 19th, that, you know, we're ready to go, especially if they are not traveling. So I've encouraged all my coaches to be in touch with their players and encourage them, look, we'd rather be ready than caught the other way and not be prepared that if they say it's a go, that we're waiting for kids to get their paperwork. With the paperwork issue, you know, there's a chance that the PSL could possibly be considering, right, like alterations to the medical. Now do kids, would the COVID test have to be part of the medical for being certified for sports? You know, that hasn't been answered either yet.
I mean, it's just hard to believe, and I understand it's a very, very complicated situation, but you would hope at some point over the course of the summer there'd be some sort of direction to PSAL as to at least inform ADs, coaches, who in turn can tell the students and their parents what we're thinking about for this year. It's just difficult. I mean, and again, this is what we're seeing pretty much all over the place in terms of now with the COVID cases rising in other states. We're still concerned around here as to what's going to happen. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to some calls, Nick. Let's go to Louie over in Lynbrook. Hey, good morning, Louie. You're up on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Great speaking with you. And hey, Nick, I am head soccer coach at Bourne College in Flushing. I just recruited two players from Thomas Edison High School. If you got any players, send them over. I'm happy to help them.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna lose an opportunity to recruit with this, Rick. But I just want to let you know that our team was ranked number 9 in the country last year for small colleges. We just got canceled. Actually, we were scheduled to play, but we just got postponed until the spring. That's what it looks like all the colleges are doing right now. But I will say this. This is a difficult situation with a lot of the kids. We're going to have to take the temperatures of all the kids before they play. You know, keep them sanitized, of course. It's not going to be easy to do this. But in any event, we are working forward. We're trying to help the kids here. And you know, we just want to help the kids, let them understand, clear up things. Right now, everything is really confusing for all the kids, the parents, even the administrators and coaches. So if we can get some, you know, a guy like Rick in there become the commissioner, maybe he could clear up things in New York State.
Well, I'll tell you, it is, Louis, and thank you as always for the call. You know, Nick, it just seems like, and in fact, I want to ask you, is I know one of the sports you coach, in addition to your being a director of athletics, is volleyball and soccer. But let me ask about volleyball. Do you consider volleyball to be a high-risk or medium-risk sport in terms of spreading the virus?
You know, Rick, I'm not a disease expert, but, you know, having thought about it and talking to people in the community, I think where is all the play at the net, right? So, you know, if you're blocking at the net, you're, yep, you know, really right on top of players and, you know, all the handling of the ball could increase, you know, risk transmission, right? I think outdoors is a little bit different, but New York City and New York State, it's not like we have beach volleyball as a sport. And then mm-hmm. also I was reading Moulton's guidelines about disinfecting the volleyball that because of the porous surface of the leather that cleaning it may not be 100% effective. And also when you start using the wipes with the alcohol, they break down the balls. And then that can be another like concern, you know, for schools being tight, that if they're destroying volleyballs at $30 to $60 a pop, you know, schools can't afford really to like replace that. So, you know, volleyball would have to be modified in a sense, like, you know, no high fiving, no touch. It's all the play at the net and people are right on top of each other. And, you know, there's 12 different people, you know, potentially could touch the ball. Right, there could be some elevated risk that way.
So you think it? From what I'm hearing from you, you're saying that you think it'd be a high risk sport.
I think it's higher, right? Like higher than you know some other sports.
Well,
as
how about,
high as like the soccer or football? Probably not, because there is still some more spacing. But the net could increase, you know, risk of transmission.
Yeah, but I mean, everything you just said about volleyball, and I hadn't considered about the fact that the cleaning of the ball itself would be something has been done on a regular routine basis during the matches, and yet still that might actually end up getting very, very pricey in terms of replacing or finding or having to use a new ball every so often. The soccer situation. I mean, do you consider soccer to be at the same level of danger as volleyball or less?
I think it's higher because people are running alongside each other all match, right?
Yeah,
you go for a header, right? Two people are going for the ball at the same time. You know, I just think there's a lot more physical contact in soccer than volleyball. At least volleyball, the net's in the way.
Yeah, I agree with you about that. All right, let me take a timeout. We're talking this morning with Nick Deonte, the AD at the High School for Math, Science, and Engineering in New York City, and we're talking about the unique challenges that high schools and ADs and coaches and student-athletes face in the city about the fall sports. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. We'll take a break and come back with your calls. Stay with me.
New York's number one. Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
the Fan,
and Sports Radio 66
WFAN. We're chatting right now with Nick Deonte. He's the athletic director at the High School for Math, Science, and Engineering in New York City, about the unique issues and challenges that high schools that are based in the city are facing. Nick, let's get back to our calls. Let's go to Rob out in Lake Success. Hey, Rob, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Always a pleasure. Me and Jack Smithlin are texting back and forth. We always just love your topics. Nick, you know, my dad was the commissioner of the Public School Athletic League of football back in the 80s. And I wish he was alive to be talking about this. And here's my take on this. And as you know, Nick, the Public School Athletic League is kind of a private organization. They run the whole program of sports in all of New York City. So in a sense, they all have commissioners. My dad was the football guy. Every one of these sports have their own commissioner. And, Rick, you should be doing this on a statewide level. But it's unique in a sense that the city has their own little, you know, their little organization. And what happens is they make the rules, you know, every commission has to make these rules. There's no way I could see in the city, because education is first. There's so much red tape, as Nick was saying. The kids would be starting. My dad would be going down watching practices in the end of August. Now, football would be starting back then in the August time. I don't know what a lot of these other sports, I guess soccer would have to be starting similar times. It's a few weeks away. These kids, there's so many answers that are not even there right now. With this virus, it's just almost impossible. And I'm going to be listening to what your thoughts are going forward. I don't think the only thing that could happen is maybe cross-country, because it's kind of like spaced out outside. Swimming indoors, okay, is the only real sports I could see these individual sports going forward in the fall. And that's really what you're going to be talking about. I think we're kind of on hold going forward, Rick, for the next few months till we get some more answers. And I'd like to hear what Nick has to say, because I hope the PSAL is still run the same way, meaning that it's a private organization which takes care of the sports in the city. And I believe it's still pretty much, I'm holding back a lot of you, I think it's the same way. Thank you for always the input, Rick, and let me hear what you have to say.
Yeah,
on my
thanks, Rob. And Nick, I mean, I'm under the impression, as Rob just pointed out, that there are individual commissioners for the sports in the PSAL. Tell me what I mean, you're involved in this. Tell me what your sense is.
Sure. So, you know, the PSAL operates somewhat independently of the rest of the, you know, they can set some of their own rules that are a little bit, I think that's why you're going to see differences maybe between what the PSAL is doing and what the rest of the state is doing. And while there are commissioners for every sport, you know, with a decision such like this, this is going to rest at the top. But I think the issue here is that, you know, the leadership, the PSAL, is waiting for guidance from above them.
Mm-hmm.
And leadership has changed, I think, in the last year or two, where they're now under a different umbrella than what they used to. So, you know, the word is going to come from above the director of the PSAL, where this is going to start. And while all the commissioners have been in talks about, you know, what they can do and what can be done, ultimately the decision is really going to come from a lot farther up than something that is done in-house. And to his point, I could see something like cross-country or golf, which are fall sports, going off, or even maybe badminton. You know, it's a little bit more distance, which is recreationally, that opened up. But again, I don't know if the PSAL is going to be open to only offering certain sports and not others because of the big equity push across this city.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you. There are certain sports we know are really sort of non-contact, lower sports, and they would be the obvious ones to push forward. But again, we're already into late July. We still don't even know when the schools are going to open, much less the sports. A lot has to happen, and a lot has to happen in a hurry if there's going to be a rearrangement of a sports schedule for the city. Let's move on. Let's go to Forest Hills, and Sonny is next up on the fan. Sonny, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Quick question for Coach Nick. If he follows pro sports, are there particular protocols that he's seen, whether it be the NFL, the NBA, MLB, NASCAR, are there particular protocols that he's seen out there that would be applicable to the PSALs? And is there any possibility from his position that he could advocate for such policies and protocols? Just curious if he has a say in the whole matter.
You know, so I think here what we're looking at, when we look at pro sports, they can run a much more controlled environment. They can quarantine. They have these bubbles. They're testing the players every few days. They have people dedicated to sanitizing equipment. I mean, MLB said, right, they're going to use like triple the amount of baseballs the same amount of baseballs in 60 games that they were using in 162 games. We don't have the capacity in the schools to do, you know, all this repeated testing, you know, of the student athletes the way that the pros are doing. So I think we're operating on a much different level than what you're seeing with the pro sports, because their resources are so much greater than what we have available to us in the schools.
Yeah, Sonny, I thank you for that call. And I mean, that is sort of the bottom line here, Nick, is that when we look at the professional leagues, you know, up and running like baseball, and obviously, you know, football's in the wings along, and basketball, and so on and so forth. But that's all about much deeper financial resources than our schools have. We already know that school budgets are going to be stretched thin this year. So the sports is always still viewed, of course, as being an extracurricular activity. And the more important, they get the teachers back in the classrooms and making sure that they're protected. I mean, we know that the kids, the mortality rate is very, very low. It's not the kids that are the concern here. They're more the concern about the older individuals, the teachers, the coaches, the referees, and so on and so forth. That's who we're trying to protect here. And as I mentioned early on, you know, trying to get the kids in the school and schools in the city, you know, transported to games, you know, by subway or by buses or whatever it might be, you know, and officials, it's just a very, very complicated situation. I mean, Nick, what are you hearing, if anything, from your fellow athletic directors in the city? Are they just sitting there as confused and as everybody else?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been a lot of hurry up and wait, and we're waiting for guidance, and, you know, we're just trying to do our best to keep everyone informed, but a lot of this is speculation right now. And even, you know, what are we going to do if there's coaches that qualify for medical exemptions, you know, and can't be in? It's hard enough to staff coaches at most schools. And now if we have coaches at schools that are going to qualify for medical exemptions, replacing them might not be the easiest thing to do, especially, you know, in this environment. So, you know, that's another challenge that has not been, you know, addressed either, that if a teacher is on medical exemption, they're a coach, you know, now what do you do?
Yeah, so just to recap here, and you mentioned this early on in our conversation, Nick, your sense is at this juncture, it looks to you or to your colleagues that the high school sports in the city is probably going to be postponed, not until like, you know, mid-September, like you're doing in New Jersey or in the rest of New York State, but probably not going to happen this fall unless some of the individual sports take place. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment. And again, a lot of this depends on what they're going to do with school in come September. If we're fully remote, then this is not a conversation, right? Then, you know, sports can be off the table. But even if we're partially remote, I still think that presents a lot of challenges.
Yeah, I mean,
home and can they play? And then are their parents willing to send them in? I mean, that could potentially decimate many teams across the city if half their team is remote. Now what do you do?
That I have no idea about. I don't know how that would work. But again, this has to be decided at some point, either by Mayor de Blasio or Governor Cuomo, or somebody has to step up and say, okay, here's what's going to happen. And, you know, we're all looking for a happy resolution here, but I'm not sure that's in the cards because of all the unique issues that New York City has when it comes to their student athletes.
Yes, we have a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Nick, I thank you for coming on this morning and to share your insights and thoughts, because obviously we've talked a lot about the other schools, particularly in New York State and New Jersey, but we hadn't focused on New York City. And obviously, as our listeners have heard, there are, as you say, a lot of moving parts that still have to be figured out and try to get these moving parts into line so the kids can go back and play sports. Nick, thank you again. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road.
Rick, thanks for having me, and you know, thanks for the audience for checking in. It's appreciated.
You bet. That is Nick Deonte, the athletic director at the High School for Math, Science, and Engineering in the New York City in Manhattan, and obviously I thank him for his thoughts. Moving on, a couple of observations about high school sports and how other kids and their families are looking to sort of cope with the pandemic and its impact. I keep hearing more and more reports about the top high school athletes who are now leaving their public schools and they're transferring to private schools. And they're doing this, because they feel they can gain more exposure to college coaches at bigger and better athletic programs. And B, they feel that by going to a different school, they're going to be somehow in a safer environment. Now, let me just say this. I certainly understand that the first part of that argument, that's been going on for years and years. Kids who feel that they are focused on perhaps earning a Division I scholarship, well, they routinely transfer from a smaller public high school to a bigger prep school where they can gain, as I said, more exposure by theoretically facing better competition. But the second part of that equation, transferring to another high school and say, I don't know, Florida or Georgia or South Carolina, where the number of COVID cases have been rising dramatically the last 3 or 4 weeks, I'm not so sure that isn't sort of like running into the fire instead of running away from it. I mean, to say that, you know, I feel I'll be in a safer, healthier environment in a private school in Florida or Georgia, you know, yeah, again, I understand for most teenagers, COVID concerns aren't an issue. But again, it's when those kids, you know, are reunited with their parents again. Those are the concerns. So I just I'm not sure that's a smart move to say I'm moving south or going to go to school down south. Again, we've heard yesterday, this morning, that we know about Michigan State and their football team. They're all quarantined. Rutgers, they just announced their football team is quarantined. So these are programs, obviously Big Ten football programs, and they're trying to do what they can to keep their athletes in a bubble. And again, they're being quarantined. So I'd be very cautious about sending my kids somewhere down south where, again, the number of cases are just beginning to climb through the roof. Okay, when I return after this break, I want to talk about, well, quite frankly, the contingency plans, the plan Bs for sports this fall and into the winter. I mean, my basic theory, and I think this is a lot of people agree with this, it's just move the low-risk sports play those in the fall, and move the high-risk sports until later in the year. I mean, that just seems to make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons, and I guess it would sort of, if we can follow that approach, it might cut through all the clutter. And I'm eager to get your thoughts about that as well, of course, at 1-877-337-6666.
Well, you can't have New York without sports. And you can't have sports without the fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. And 66 WFAN, New York.
Back here on the Sports Edge, don't forget, Ed Randall will be along in a few minutes, and he'll be talking baseball. Boy, that was some heartbreaking loss for the Mets yesterday. I really felt for Edwin Diaz, boy, to have a down to the last strike, and unfortunately that homer by Ozuna, I mean, it was just remarkable. And that's the magic of baseball, that it's not over until it's over. And, geez, that was just a difficult loss for the Metropolitans. Follow me on Twitter at hashtag AskCoachWolf. Obviously, we continue to look for more practical solutions and news on high school sports. Looking ahead, we all know there's still no real consensus about how teenagers can go back to school in September, how teachers and coaches can be protected. I mean, many of the kids I see hanging around every day, they don't wear masks. So why do we think they're going to wear them constantly in school, or that they're going to be socially distant in the hallways of schools or in the parking lots or on the playing fields? The kids just don't seem to understand the gravity of the situation in terms of what they do in terms of perhaps infecting teachers and coaches. So let's assume for a moment that we decide to go to a contingency plan, Plan B, that until we have a really workable vaccine or better handle on corona, let's look at those sports that are safe enough to let our kids play now in the fall and allow our coaches to coach. So we've heard from the CDC and the National Federation of High Schools about low, medium, and high-risk sports. Why don't we just basically go back and say, we're going to play sports in the fall, but only those sports that are low and maybe medium risk. And then with other sports are not going to be canceled. We're not going to cancel them. They're just going to be pushed off again until perhaps January. And I still like what was proposed a few weeks ago. For the fall, yes, you can have boys and girls golf, boys and girls tennis, boys and girls swimming, yes, baseball and softball, maybe lacrosse, just because in lacrosse, you're going to be wearing face masks, and that will be helpful, I would think. So maybe lacrosse, and maybe field hockey, and maybe volleyball. In other words, you can just keep the high-risk sports, like I consider soccer to be a high-risk sport, certainly football, basketball, wrestling. You push them off until later in the year until we get a better sense of what's going on. Maybe there will be a vaccine by the end of the year or early January. And again, I think this is worth considering. We're not going to cancel sports. We're just going to, in effect, rearrange them over the course of the year where, quite frankly, the top priority is on the safety and the health and welfare of students and coaches. I mean, look, if you talk to any teachers or coaches who are over the age of 30 or 35 about going back in the classroom or into the locker room this fall, well, they'll tell you that, quite frankly, they're worried, they're concerned, and quite frankly, they should be. So if we want to have sports for our kids, and we do, and we know the travel teams are up and playing right now, why don't we try to adapt to what's going on with this disease? Remember, it's not lost upon us that Canada won't even let healthy Major League Baseball players back into their country. I mean, and they've all been basically quarantined and been playing in a bubble and are theoretically protected. But Canada says, no, we're not taking that risk. The Toronto Blue Jays, you're not playing here. You can just go play in Buffalo this summer. Let's get back to our calls. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Hank in Ridgefield Park. Hey, Hank, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, Rick, I just want to send out get well wishes to Coach John Ziemba, one of your regular callers. He had neck surgery last weekend.
Ah.
And he's still in the hospital. He's the longtime Fort Lee basketball coach now at Emerson High School.
Yep.
And also the volleyball coach at Fort Lee. And He's having a little rough time of it, but he's getting better every day.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Last week in New Jersey, Carteret shut down all their fall sports. They became the first school in New Jersey to shut down all the sports. And, they have a pretty good football program. And I know that we have a new phase coming tomorrow in fall sports, and I know Ridgewood's not going to participate in it, and they're a very good football, soccer program. Their sports are excellent, so they've decided to put a leash on it for now. So I don't know what's going on over there, if they don't feel it's safe. Obviously we heard the Rutgers news yesterday. That wasn't good.
Nope.
New Jersey's pushed everything back, like a month. We're going to start October 1st instead of, basically September 1st with a shortened season and a shortened playoff. That's if that even happens, Rick. I really don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows right now.
Well,
we're
Hank, it's
for the best, but
we all feel, of course, that we would love to have this virus just suddenly wake up tomorrow and we hear the numbers are going down and it disappears. But I fear, and everybody from for example, the New Jersey Interscholastic Athletic Association has said, this is all contingent upon the virus being corralled. They're fully aware that things could change instantaneously. The Big Ten has said if we're going to try to play football games in conference, but if things get out of hand, we're going to shut down immediately. I mean, I believe all that. And we're seeing, as you said, Carteret has said, no, we're not going to do this. Until we get a real sense that this is going to be safe to proceed, I am concerned that we might just say, look, let's just be careful about this. And that's why I'd suggest you can have the low-risk sports in the fall if you do have to have a high school sports program. But let's wait till we have more information and more sense of how to do this. If nothing else, you might be able to learn from having low-risk sports in the fall to get a better sense of how the high-risk or medium-risk sports could be played starting in January. I mean, let's take this in a very sort of very, very slow, cautious manner. And, Hank, thank you for the call. Let's continue. Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Hey, Jack, good morning. You're next up on the fan.
How are you, Rick? I'm actually up in Massachusetts watching a girls' softball. I don't know if it's a tournament. I believe it's supposed to be. And I'm amazed, once again, that, nobody is wearing masks and people are sitting right next to each other. They started at 8 o'clock this morning. I've been sitting here watching. But, maybe we're, everybody's trying everything they possibly can do to play sports and to get back to school because, listen, this is what our kids need, This is what teachers need to get back and working and custodians and bus drivers and everybody and coaches. But it might be the wrong approach. I mean, what's happening in New Jersey, and I've been in contact with five really good people about the topic, a couple ADs, three ADs, a couple coaches. And out of those five, one says there's a 20% chance that it's going to happen. The other four, there's no chance in heck that it's happening. So we're trying and we're preparing and we're doing everything we possibly can do to prepare ourselves for school. And it is, you have to be ready. You do have to be ready. But we're not thinking about, all our plans are thinking about the safety of everybody. But there's only one true way to be safe. Forget about sports right now. Forget about, if you're going to try to get back to school, which kids do need, that's one thing. But I have a friend who works at a school. He's like the handyman, the jack of all trades. He prepares the school. He said, there's no way this is happening because the money that they're giving me or giving us to prepare the school isn't enough to follow the guidelines of what has to be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it's time that somebody steps up and has the guts to say, listen, we're closing down until this thing is leveled out or it's under some kind of control, and we're going to just have to sit and wait because it's the safest thing to do. If somebody was to tell me right now, Rick, listen,
There's no sports. Forget about it. Don't even think about it. Don't put any time and effort into even preparing for it right now. I'd be upset. I'd be rarely upset with it. But you know what? As an adult, I'd move on. And I'd think about how I'm going to prepare myself for when it does come back in the maybe not so near future. Because this virus isn't going away. It's not. And it's like anything else. Unless it dissipates and just, you know, dies into the air, we're going to be dealing with this for a very long time, like you said. I like your idea about the sports. About the non-dangerous sports, the lower level sports, you know, the ones that are really not going to be. That's great to do those, but there's a lot of districts. After talking to those five people, there's a lot of districts that say if every sport can't be played, no sports are going to be played because all we'll have is, you know, 50% of the parents very happy and the other 50% really upset. So it will cause chaos. So maybe it's time somebody steps up and says, listen, we're shutting down sports. Forget about it right now. Get it in your head.
But Jack, here's the irony of all this. I mean, you're sitting up there in Massachusetts on a hot sunny day on a Sunday watching softball games, girls' softball games, and they're not. None of these kids are doing any socially distancing. They're not wearing masks.
Nope,
I mean,
nope,
I so. Nope. And we all know that the travel teams are out playing right now. They're like, it's like we're back to normal. It's as simple as that. Whether it's softball, baseball, soccer, you know, they're back.
But you know what, Rick? Go ahead.
No, that just adds to the frustration of the fact that the parents and the kids are saying, so if we can play on elite travel teams and we're playing against competition and other great athletes, why can't our high schools get their act together? Why can't we play in our high school teams?
And I read this and we spoke about this a while back. During a war or pandemic or country crisis, we can make new laws. The governors can come in right now and shut every one of those club teams down during a war, crisis, or pandemic. They can shut them down completely, like they did at the beginning of this.
Yep.
All clubs stopped. All restaurants were closed. All stores were closed. And look what happened. The numbers gradually started going down. Now we gradually open up. And everybody thinks, oh, we're opening up. This is great. We can get back to normalcy. Well, you can't because the virus isn't slowing down. It's getting worse.
Well, the one thing we have to focus on more than anything else, and this is, I understand, and I know you agree with this because you're an educator for many years, is you got to figure out a way to get the schools back open so the teachers are safe and protected. And I know there's lots of, you know, things they're thinking about, you know, perhaps the kids are staggered in terms of the school start time and so on and so forth in terms of remote learning. That's got to get figured out first. Hey, Jack, thank you for the call. As always, I'll talk to you again soon. But again, we got to figure out the schools and how they operate first, and then we figure out what happens with sports. And again, it's frustrating, it's maddening that we can't get this act together. But hopefully we will find a way to get through this sooner rather than later. And again, hopefully that vaccine comes down the pike a lot quicker than we think. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of The Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Connor Green. Please stick around for Ed Randall. He is up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on The Sports Edge.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.